Go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 13, and we'll be in Mark and other places this morning. Should share a few things before beginning our text. Mark chapter 3, verse number 13. Just got a note from Paula that Susan Shepherd has been moved to Winchester Place in Canal Winchester for rehab. So Susan Shepherd is at Winchester Place in Canal Winchester for rehab. So again, let's continue to keep her recovery in prayer. Also, we've been fortunate and blessed to have several of you and families that host exchange students over the past years. And this morning we have a new foreign exchange student. We have AJ here from Thailand. Here's AJ. Don't want to embarrass you too much, but just so you get a chance, say hi to AJ. I believe he's staying with the Browns. So we want to welcome you and hope school year goes well for you. All right. Also, I guess I need to do this. Several weeks ago, when I was preaching about prayer and talking about, you know, who taught me to pray. Remember, I told that story, and I talked about my sister, who I remember learning how to pray. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my, you know, Lord, pray the Lord my soul to keep. And then I told you how my sister went into this prayer, and that's what I used to do and used to mimic that. But it's Labor Day weekend, and my family came into town, and my mom and my aunt Linda's here, and my sister and her husband and their kids, and my I was the youngest child, but now I'm an older brother, and so my new sisters and brother are here, and some of my other cousins. So if you get a chance, say hello. Don't tell them the bad stories I told y'all about them, and you get a chance and say hey. And you know, I want to say this publicly in their presence. I do it when I go back home, that, you know, I'm a product of them. They created this monster. It was my mother when I was, you know, about 12, that just woke me up one day and said, "You're going to church today." And that began a long journey. And I'm where I'm at because my mother woke me up that morning. So I'm just thankful to you. Love you so much. For being so supportive of me spiritually and financially. And she taught me how to cook. Yeah, a lot of y'all are recipients of that. Mark chapter 3. We've been in a year-long study in Bible classes. Look at the man. And past couple months in the class, you've been focusing on the Gospel of Mark. Typically, what we've done the past couple of years, we've kind of meshed the sermons with the class. Well, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I preached a sermon series through the Gospel of Mark, and so didn't want to repeat that. But given that we're kind of in a transition between series, thought that maybe I'd take a stab at preaching from a text from Mark this morning. So I selected Mark chapter 3, verse number 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, how many people here like to read? If you've been in my office and you know me, you know that I love to read. I love books. I'm not much of a fiction reader. I like reading biographies and theological books, historical books, and of course, the Bible. Now, there are parts of the Bible, and you've heard me say this before, that I just absolutely love to read. And then there are just parts of the Bible that, quite frankly, Isn't that interesting? I love reading about the judges. I love reading the book of Judges and all the stories in the Judges. I feel like a lot of our sci-fi movies are based loosely on stories in the Judges. I mean, I love the story in the Judges about the judge Ehud. You know, Eglon, he was the king of the Moabites, and they terrorized the Israelites, and the text says he was a really big man, and Ehud was a left-handed judge. He was left-handed, which there weren't a lot of people who were left-handed or used their left hand. Even if they were born with a left hand, they were taught to use their right hand. But Ehud went in to meet with Eglon, a real big dude, and he went in, and he went to hand Eglon something, and he tricked him, and he took out a sword with his left hand, and he stabbed him, and it says that he was so big that the sword went in his belly, and his, the fat covered the sword. He was so big. I love stories like that. It's kind of gross, but I love those stories that are just so exciting. They just have plots and they have storylines, and you can read them over. You know, the story of the donkey talk. I love that story because it's comical. But then, you know, you read and keep reading and you come to verses like this, like in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse number 29, it says, these were their descendants, Naboth, the firstborn of Ishmael, Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedemah. These were the sons of Ishmael, the sons born of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua, the sons of Jokshan, Sheba, and Dedan. When I read texts like those, I get pretty bored. It's not exciting. It's no action. There's no plot structure. There's no rising or falling action. There's no character development. All there are names. Just names. Not much to learn from just names. What do you expect to get this morning from this text in Mark? Dion, why of all the texts in the Gospel of Mark would you pick chapter 3, verse 13 through 19 that just has a bunch of names? I mean, wouldn't you rather hear a sermon from, say, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, where the disciples are on the boat and the waves begin to shake it, and Jesus said, peace be still to the waves? Wouldn't you like to hear a sermon about that? Or maybe from the next story where Jesus meets this guy possessed by these demons and he heals him. Or maybe the next story where he goes and he heals this woman that has the issue of blood. Remember, and she makes her way through the crowd so that she could just touch a piece of Jesus' garment so she can be healed, and she touches it and she's healed. Or maybe the story after that where he raises the daughter of a ruler. Wouldn't you like to hear a sermon about that? Why didn't you pick that text this morning, Dion? I mean, those texts are more compelling. There are more compelling stories and more exciting stories in the Gospel of Mark than this text that just has names. Just names. Simon, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. Just names, like Simon Peter. You mean the Simon Peter that was with his brother Andrew in Mark chapter 1 when Jesus saw them, he called them and they left immediately and followed him? You mean Simon Peter who told Jesus about his mother-in-law's sickness and Jesus healed her, teaching us to be kind to our in-laws? You mean Simon Peter who made the confession in Mark chapter 8 that Jesus was the Christ? You mean Simon Peter who rebuked Jesus after Jesus predicted that he was going to be delivered, killed, and that he would rise again on the third day. You mean Simon Peter, who up on the mountain of transfiguration suggested building tabernacles for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, to which God spoke and said, listen, this is my beloved son, hear him. You mean Simon Peter, who when asked if he was a companion of Jesus, denied it, even though previously he had said, even if all fall away, I will not. Yet he denied him three times. And then that scene where the rooster crowed. You mean Simon Peter, who on the day of Pentecost, and even though he was a flawed man, even though he made some major mistakes in his life, he was given the responsibility, along with his companions, the other apostles, to stand up in front of a crowd of people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that resulted in 3,000 people being baptized and added to the body of Christ. You mean Simon Peter, who would be instrumental in paving the way for the inclusion of the Gentiles into the church, because non-Jews up to a certain point were not included into the body of Christ. You mean Simon Peter, who would write extremely impactful letters to the church that would be included in our New Testament canon. Verses like this from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Just names. Like James and John. Wait. You mean the James and John that were called by Jesus while they were fishing? What is it with Jesus and fishermen? You mean the James and John that left their father Zebedee to follow Jesus? You mean James and John who had the courage and audacity to ask Jesus for positions of power? Mark chapter 10, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. That's bold. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. You mean James and John, who along with Peter made up the inner circle, experiencing things that the others, the other 12, the other 9 didn't experience. You mean John, who along with Peter was arrested, as recorded in the book of Acts, for preaching about Jesus, yet was defiant and committed, declaring with Peter that he would obey God rather than man. You mean James, who was killed by Herod for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You mean John, who many believe wrote the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John and Revelation with such great verses like this from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Just names, like Thomas. You mean like doubting Thomas? You know the Thomas that were called Didymus or the twin. How come we never hear about his twin brother or sister? You mean the Thomas that only gets identified by his doubt of the risen Lord? John 20, verse number 24 says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.'" Hence we get doubting Thomas. You mean Thomas, who was listening to Jesus talk about the death of his friend Lazarus, and Thomas knew that Jesus was in impending danger, yet the text says about Thomas, it says, "Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we might die with him.'" Just names, like Matthew. You mean Matthew the tax collector? You mean the Matthew that was called to follow Jesus while he sat at a booth and worked as a tool for the Roman government to take advantage of his fellow Jews? You mean Matthew, who would have been hated because he backstabbed his fellow Jews? You mean Matthew, that hung out with other tax collectors and spent his money partying with prostitutes and other sinners? You mean Matthew, that was called while he was in the midst of sinning? Just names, like Simon the Zealot. You mean Simon, who was a member of a group of radical Jews that was waiting for the right time to attack the Romans and reclaim their land and their identity? You mean Simon the Zealot, who was eagerly awaiting a Messiah to come and lead the revolution? You mean Simon the Zealot, that like other zealots would hide in alleys and grab Roman guards and slit their throats? You mean Simon the Zealot, that would have had to sit and listen to Jesus tell his followers to be kind to Roman soldiers and turn the other cheek? Church, it's raining outside. When I read Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, I don't see names. I see wonderful stories. Stories that are being written by God. I don't see just names. I see the transformation from the ordinary to the extraordinary. I see a movement from the average to the exceptional. I see men that God used to change this earth and flip this world upside down. I don't see just names. I see Jesus taking and grabbing hold of some flawed men. He called them on a mountain. You know, church, some special things took place on a mountain. You know, Moses received the law on a mountain. You remember, Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on a mountain. You know, Jesus often would go up on a mountainside to pray. You know, Jesus preached the most famous, the best sermon that I believe we can read in scripture, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. There's some special things that took place on mountains. And Jesus called these men, these disciples, where he would designate them and qualify them and set them apart to do something special on this special place on this mountain. And it was on this mountain that Jesus called and designated these men, calling them apostles. And he commissioned them, giving them the task of preaching the gospel of Jesus. They would cease from just existing and they would start living. These men, these were not just names. They were called to be a part of something special. And thus, as individuals, they would be special. And throughout our lifetime, we have run into people and we've learned about people that are special. Names like these, Abraham, Zach Hunter, Marshall Keeble, Henry Nouwen, Otis and Alma Gatewood, Deborah, Wilm Borden, Francis of Assisi, and Amy. I've talked about Zach Hunter before. Zach Hunter is a Christian, and at age 12, he was in school learning about slavery. And they were talking about slavery throughout history, and obviously in American history, they focused on the slavery that took place here in America. But then they began to talk about modern-day slavery. How many people know that there are slaves right now all over the world? How many people know that there are five-year-olds in India sewing soccer balls to pay off debts for their parents? How many people know that right here in America, there are slaves, people working for nothing? Zach Hunter took it upon himself as a child of God to say, we can do something to help. He started an organization at age 12, young people, 12. Organization called Loose Chains, C-H-A-I-N-S, for Loose Change. Set up boxes all over America in schools, and kids give money, and they use this money literally to go over into foreign countries to buy kids out of slavery, pay their debts off. Zach Hunter isn't just a name. Special. Otis Gatewood, Otis and Alma Gatewood. How many people heard of Otis and Alma Gatewood? Great missionaries in the Church of Christ. Post-war Germany, Otis and Alma Gatewood were the first people of any Christian background allowed into post-war Germany. And they did some incredible things. They were two of the first missionaries to go beyond the red curtain and spread the gospel. Otis and Alma Gatewood weren't just names. They were special. Not to mention they established a college that I went to, Michigan Christian College, Rochester College. Then Amy. I don't know Amy's last name, but in 1998, Preston Road Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, Amy was baptized into Jesus Christ. She became a Christian. Becoming a Christian meant that she had to leave her profession of choice at that time, which at the time was a stripper. She had no education. She had no leads to do things that she didn't know how to do. The only way she knew how to make money was stripping. She was determined to get on her feet. She was determined to get a job that didn't mean that she had to take off her clothes or even have sex with men for money. She got on her feet. She began to realize that there are other women that were in the same place she was. So rather than rest, she began to go out and invite people she used to strip with to church. And soon those that she invited to church gave their lives to Jesus Christ. They were baptized into Christ. She started an organization called New Friends, New Life, which is an organization that reaches out to women who are in sexually oriented professions. And they now help them get job training, get life skills, get them off the streets, get them out of that exploitive business. You change your life. Let me tell you something. Amy isn't just a name. She's special. Hey, look at these names on the next screen. Here's some names from some people right here in this church. We have so many bills in our church now. the names on this screen aren't just names. You're special. And you're part of something special. I didn't have enough room to put all of your names on there. But I want you to put your name in chalk and white and on the screen there, because your name is included. You're not just a name. You're something special in Christ Jesus. Jesus has called us to be special. He has called us to be part of something that's special. He's called us. He's designated us. He has qualified us, and he has commissioned us, as he commissioned the apostles, to go and spread this message of hope and reconciliation and redemption and love and hope and joy and faith. And we are all a part of it. So, church, it's not just names. Philippians chapter 1. It's one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In my prayers for all of you, Paul writes, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Do you see that? Do you see that we are partners with Jesus Christ, partners with Paul, partners with the apostles? We are partners in the kingdom. We are part of something special, and thus we are special. He didn't stop there. He says, from the first day until now, Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is a message that we need to hear from time to time, because many of us, even though we're up in years, even though we're middle age, or maybe older middle age, or upper tier middle age, we're still looking for purpose in life. Still looking for what's my meaning? Still looking for why am I here? Let me boldly say that in Christ Jesus, you have a purpose in God. You have a purpose to fulfill in God. And know this, that God didn't just set you out there to do your own thing. It says, he who began this good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. How many people believe God is doing something special in their life right now? Yeah, not everyone does that, because we're hesitant, aren't we? Can I boldly say again, if you are in Christ Jesus, God is doing something special in you right now, and you're not just Joel. It's not just a name. You're something. You're not just Francie. You knew I was coming to you, didn't you? You're something special. You're not just Mario. You're somebody special. You're not just April. You're somebody special. You're not just Darren. You're somebody special. And you're part of something special. It's time for us to stop wandering around like zombies, wondering what in the world am I going to do. Take your place now, as these apostles did on that mountainside. Take your place, this special place in the kingdom of God. Jesus has commissioned us. God has commissioned us to be lovers of him, lovers of God, lovers of one another, lovers of this world in the sense that we feel it is our duty, our calling, to share a message of hope, share a message of love, share a message of redemption, not just names. It's always going to be my continued prayer that for each and every one of you, that God continually reveals his will for your life, and that you realize that you are never too young, and that you're never too old to take your special place in the kingdom of God. When I read Mark chapter 3, I don't see just names. I see a transition from existence to life. How many people want to move from just existing to living? How many people want to move from existing to living? I pray you would follow God's call for your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the story of the call of the apostles. God, I don't know why Jesus called the men that he called. I don't know why he called so many diverse personalities. I don't know why he would call someone like Matthew, who was the sinner's sinner. I don't know why he would call someone like Simon a zealot, who was so violent, so radical with his beliefs. I don't know why he would call someone like Peter, who just seemed never to figure out the right things to say. Just seemed like he always flubbed his lines. Seemed like he was always putting his foot in his mouth. God, you called that flawed Peter to speak and preach first Christian sermon. And you used them. And even throughout his lifetime, he was one that had flaws, that had some issues, but you still used them. God, I guess it was a way for you to communicate to us that if you could use these flawed men, that you can use us flawed men and women. And that your will is going to prevail despite the instruments that you use. But God, while we recognize that we're flawed, God, we come to you to fix our flaws and to recondition us and to refashion us and to remold us and to break us and reshape us into what you want us to be. God, help us to be confident and faithful to this truth, that you who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. God, thank you for calling us partners. And thanks for communicating to us, for teaching us, for illuminating to us that we're not just a name, that we're not just a number, that we are special, and that we are part of something special. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are not in Christ Jesus and you too want to be part of something special in Christ Jesus, if you want to enjoy all the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ Jesus, if you want to profess your faith in him, be baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll do that for you. If you need us to pray for you, you want to spend some time sharing with us a struggle you might be going through, if there are storms in your life, if there are storms in your life that's got you shaken, and you need someone to hold your hand through these storms, we want to be that church for you. We want to be your brother. We want to be your sister through those storms. So as we sing this song about our need for God, our only need for God, I ask that you come as we stand and sing this song.